welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton, Tom Schreier, and John Carson. It was a huge news week, so let's jump right in with the new Destiny news. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Destiny is going to be... we've already heard that they've phased out their their DLC and replaced it with microtransactions. And the promise then was that we would be getting some sort of free maps or content from it, presumably, you know, that's the difference.
Yep.
And it has just come out that there's not going to be any more DLC releases for the game, which is kind of crazy. Like, what they're saying is they're going to be doing free events like the Sparrow Races, which are timed events that will expire. So you have like X number of weeks to do each themed event, and then you can get custom items, and they will have custom buyable cosmetics as well available within that window, and then it will be gone.
Yeah, that's...
What do you guys think about this?
It's weird, because I was looking forward to something like House of Wolves or The Dark Below, and with this, I like the idea of them putting in different events like the Racing League. I was kind of excited when I heard about it, and then they said it was for 3 weeks, and then I was like, never mind. But it's cool that they're doing things like that, but not keeping it in there is... not a good thing
It's the content that WoW gives you for the holiday seasons, basically.
It seems free. Odd that they want to just leave it in the game, you know, have all these little mini games within the game for people to pay, you know, leave the microtransactions in, fine. Sure. People will still pay for them, but leave it open for everyone.
God forbid that you can do something fun while you're waiting for your raid to start, or trying to, what is it, 10% of people have, only 10% of players have actually beaten Oryx on hard, and like, you know, a big part of that, I feel like, is people get sick of looking for groups. It'd be great if you had a distraction while you're trying to get a squad together.
Bejeweled in there.
Yeah, exactly. What we really need is the new load screen stuff. Actually, I don't know if we talked about this, but I wanted to touch on this really quick. This happened last week, I believe, or it was on the 24th, I think, of November. The Namco patent on games in loading screens has expired.
I thought that was a while ago.
It just happened. Okay. And so I'm really, really hopeful that we're going to see a resurgence of these, because I love loading screen games.
That would be fantastic if every game just got patched overnight and now there's fantastic games and loading screens.
Instead of in Assassin's Creed when you're just running around a blank screen.
There's a funny catch about that, actually. The reason we haven't suddenly seen a glut of them all at once is because it was actually illegal to even be working on the development a load screen game.
I was thinking about that the other day because I fired up Black Flag. Even if there was just like a combat simulator where you were fighting enemies on, because like in the earlier Assassin's Creed games, you could still use your weapons and stuff. But yeah, anything like even Just Cause 3 badly needs, at least on Xbox One, a decent loading screen game.
Was it Devil May Cry or Bayonetta? They actually had like a combo practice.
It must have been Bayonetta. Yeah. I don't remember. That's a really good idea. Yeah. But I will say, I know that FIFA, I think it is, actually has a slight workaround that's pretty close to what you're talking about, where you have like a limited in-game planning sort of thing, so you can start the game a little bit while it's loading everything in. But I don't know. I can't believe that was even a patent.
I believe Splatoon actually had an arcade game on the gamepad while it was loading. So I think that's
legal jujitsu going on.
Pretty good.
I know. And also, I don't know if this would count, but didn't Street Fighter have like the training room while you're loading into matches?
Yep.
Matchmaking.
Yep,
I wonder if technically if that's not loading.
It's not loading.
So
it's just searching for a match.
That's interesting.
Like usually it was like you'd go into arcade mode and then put your flag your account for like people to challenge you.
Sure. So. You know what they should do is they should just take games like, say they release another Wolfenstein. They should just put Wolfenstein 3D in the loading screen and just save your progress in between load screens. Like, that'd be so awesome, and it would take so little memory.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who cares? Freaking runs off a flash drive. I mean, anyways, though, back to the Destiny news, as exciting as the load screen games are.
That's cool.
I was trying to avoid something I'm not a huge fan, not really wanting to talk about, which is, come on, you guys, this is insane. I mean, I don't even play Destiny, and I'm actually kind of angry about this.
Well, honestly, I kind of wonder why I got it, because I understand why you would do microtransactions. They're gonna make tons of money off of people who are diehards. But what I liked about it, see, I've always wavered on Destiny. I really liked the idea of it. So I got the first one. I was disappointed because the story sucked and it was disappointing. And then this one, the story's good and it seemed like it was moving in the right direction. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I might shell out for a DLC or something like that. Now I'm kind of like, you know what? I have Fallout 4 and I have, you know, if I go over a friend's house, I'll play Madden or something like that. And,
well, the good news is you don't have to shell out for a DLC.
Yeah.
Because there is none.
Now you just wait till next year in Destiny 2.
I'm curious though. Do you guys think that the reason they're phasing out the DLC is because they don't think that they'll like make enough back off of it, or do you think it's because they have now set a precedent with the expansion saying this is the quality of the story in this game now and they just can't develop that quality for the DLC?
Honestly, I think that they make more money with the microtransactions.
Well, it's not like they can't have... Dude, they could have had microtransactions and DLC in the Destiny fan.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. But like, if all the money that is pouring in from the microtransactions, why bother with all the hard work behind DLC?
Yeah, okay, that's actually... That's even more cynical. Wow, that's a good point, though, actually.
That's what they've said. They're like, ah, we're just going to opt for releasing more microtransactions.
That's insane, because the base game is not, I mean, the story is good until it ends.
Yeah.
The raid is good, all one of it.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that's insane. Well, that's insane.
Right, no, it is. But I mean, look at it this way. Think how many mini events it can crank out and how fast. And if they rake in exponentially growing numbers with microtransactions, they will seriously probably rethink.
Do you honestly think that the player base isn't going to drop off from no new content? Like, I mean, I know my roommate, I told you guys how insanely diehard. He's a bigger Destiny fan than anybody on this show by far. He played for a couple thousand hours when Taken King came out, and he has not picked it up for 3 weeks or so now. Since he beat Oryx on hard, he's just like,
there's no substantial reason to.
Well, especially in a game
that there's not going to be until whatever new game comes out.
Especially in that insane grind fest that is the one raid that is in Destiny. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two RNGs. You have I was just reading this online. It's like, what, a 1 in 21 chance of getting the item you want, and then a 1 in 55 chance of getting the rarity that you want of that item, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's like some C-3PO odds. I don't even understand. I would never even go. I don't get so much about this, but this is the icing on the cake. Like, WoW does these themed events all the time, and I've seen a lot of people talking about, oh, well, you know, WoW has big gaps in between its content. WoW has like 8 raids and expansion.
Yeah. and they have new content dropping every, what, like 4 to 6 months?
For the most part. Usually there is about a year gap after the final raid releases. Yep. Like right now we're in the gap until Legion comes out next year. However, they're still doing all of the seasonal stuff. There's a lot more replayability in WoW because there's an insane amount of content.
Yep.
And just in general, like, I feel like WoW is just a more appealing game just because it has more to do. Now it's not free, like, over per month, so I can.
Fine.
But if they have microtransactions in Destiny, they should. I mean, it's arguably not free as from the developer's perspective, anyways. I'm sure they're making a good amount of money off those microtransactions. I don't know. I really don't like the way that a lot of these developers are going with microtransactions and supporting games like further into the launch. It seems like single player games, for the most part, are what you have to look to see good post launch support.
Hopefully,
yeah. Which
that may drop off.
Well, the good news is there are some companies who are still facilitating good post-launch support. This actually brings us to our next news story, which is Overwatch. Blizzard has announced that Overwatch is going to be releasing with the intended 21 characters, and then it will be having free add-on characters and maps. They are not going to be charging for any of the additional characters or maps.
Got to keep that player base together.
I wonder if that's going to be a like Street Fighter V situation where you can pay for the characters in-game. Or you can purchase them.
You can't.
Outright.
You guys haven't played Overwatch yet, so it may not be quite as clear to you guys. But you cannot. The way the game works, like
you have to have every character.
Well, yes, because you change characters multiple times per match if you're playing it right, unless you have like a perfect, you know, pre-made team or something. Yeah. But for the most part, you're adapting to your opponent's team build all the time. And to not have certain characters that are counters to other characters would put you at a distinct disadvantage. It would not be. It would break the balance.
Okay.
Or the imbalance. I don't know how to. It's balanced.
It's
imbalance.
Both.
It's weird. But anyways, I think this is great. I'm actually probably going to shell out for the $60 version of this because I want the skins and like additional animations and stuff. Like, this game looks so good and plays so well already that I would shell out 60 for it as is right now, to be honest, especially considering that there are enough multiplayer only $60 titles that just have nowhere near this quality or polish. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. Everybody knows I'm a Blizzard fanboy, but I really, really, really enjoyed Overwatch. I would still would say it's one of my favorite shooters of all time, and I cannot wait for the release. I really am hoping that they're going to push it to the earliest possible part of quarter one.
Yeah.
Or
January
spring,
1st.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Also in the games to be released news is Final Fantasy VII Remake has been confirmed that it is going to be episodic.
Yeah.
And is going to be on the Unreal 4 engine, which is an interesting choice.
I think it's going to be easier for them to develop in parts with that. I've played the demo for 15, and that game's taken forever to make. And it wasn't running too well with that demo either. Like, lots of frame rate drops, lots of weird graphical hitches.
Was this on PC or console?
It was on console. It was on PS4.
Oh, I suppose it would be, yeah.
Yeah. But it's... I'm guessing what they've learned from that is that they can take a pre-made engine and just push stuff out a lot easier.
Which is reasonable, although Unreal 4 is really getting old.
It looked real nice.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they made Unreal 4, to build off of it even more than 3 was.
I guess
everything's more modular now.
I just won't be expecting a ton of neat physics or anything like that. Just, I don't know. Yeah. I like Unreal 4. I just think it's kind of had its day at this point, especially because we're talking about a game that the projected launch isn't for another 2 years or so, is it?
Right. For the 7 remake?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought that was 2018. I thought I'd seen, but
it might be earlier now. It could be something. It could be
episodic,
late next year.
Which
they showed a lot of stuff in that trailer.
Yeah,
gameplay wise.
That's true, actually. And I have to say, I just want to come out publicly and say that I am totally in support of this being an episodic game. I'm not trying to wait 7 years to play this game. I've already waited 20. And on top of that, it is a game that naturally lends itself to being segmented. It really is. It's a game with 3 distinct acts that was originally packaged on 3 distinct discs.
Yep.
I mean, it makes total sense to do it episodic. I was actually kind of bummed. I was listening to the Giant Bombcast from this week, and they were talking on Monday about how they were concerned maybe the first episode would only be Midgar, and saying, that's only going to take 20 minutes to get out of. And somebody needs to go back and replay Final Fantasy VII, because that's the first 6 or 7 hours of the game.
Yeah.
That's an incredibly long game. I want to say that is a 250 to 300 hour game just doing the story beats.
The only thing that I have reservations about with this is they've also said that each chapter is going to play differently.
Yeah.
It's going to have a distinct style to it.
I think that might be a little bit of hype.
So,
I have trouble.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But if it's the first chapter is what we saw, where it's kind of Kingdom Hearts combat. Second chapter is all snowboarding all the time.
That's all I want. Actually, if you know what, cancel the remake. Racing. I just want a Final Fantasy themed snowboarding game.
Barrett just goes on this on this deep gambling binge.
I'm just saying, I would definitely play an all chocobo gold saucer game.
Sure. Yeah.
Actually, didn't they do that? Isn't there a chocobo races?
There's a
game?
Racing. Yep.
I should go back and play that again. But I don't know. I'm so excited for this. I'm definitely I admit that I'm wearing the rosiest color or tinted of glasses, but
that's kind of a first for you.
I know.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm pretty open about my biases, but Final Fantasy VII is in my top 2 favorite games of all time.
Okay.
And
it's above
one.
That.
I hate Final
it's a
Fantasy
bad game.
It's not, and the story is cliche and garbage.
That's fine. The game's
Japanese
bad.
Love stories don't translate very well.
Japanese stories about a guy dying, and the last 3 deaths are his dying dream, is what Final Fantasy VIII is all about.
That's great.
Have you read that story?
No.
Where
but
it's like
I played it for 10 hours, and I was like, eh.
Oh, okay. The whole theory behind 8 is that Squall's dead after the first disc.
So and spoilers, guys.
What? How's that a spoiler? That's just a weird there's an incident that happens at the end of the first disc, and then after that, everything kind of starts turning his way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Oh, are you saying it's a fan theory?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not
it has neither been confirmed nor denied.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that's great and all, but I actually thought 9 was a lot better than 8.
I like 9, too.
9 had better music
than
8, among other things.
There's 3 distinct games, and I love that trilogy.
Yeah, that's great and all, but Final Fantasy VII did it. I mean, Final Fantasy VII is the original 3D one. It's got the most memorable characters by far. You can't even debate it. So there's a reason Cloud's coming to Smash.
6.
6 is not, it doesn't really qualify for the 3 we're talking about.
Okay.
6 is my second favorite Final Fantasy game. So, but that said, I also feel like the all of the original, like all the music in 7 is the best music in Final Fantasy, in my opinion. The world, the villain, the weapon design, character design, basically everything except Barrett makes Final Fantasy 7 amazing. Yeah. Except for like, he's like, it's blaxploitation, basically.
It is.
Like, it's a little, this was not written by a black guy. Like, this is racist.
No, it definitely was not. It's either an Asian guy or a white guy.
Right. Every single line he says ends in MF-er.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every single line. But yeah, I'm really stoked for it. And I know that I'm going to like it probably no matter what, as long as it doesn't change the formula up too much. I don't mind an update of the combat system
at
all.
At first I was like, and I'm like, that, like, it, when you project it to today,
mm-hmm.
like, it makes sense.
What I'd really like is if they would just change it, though, to more of an active, I'd like something a little bit more like maybe Mario battle. RPG.
Okay.
Yeah. Just something where you, like, time button presses to do additional damage and stuff, just because I always did feel that Final Fantasy VII had kind of not very interactive feeling battles.
The only thing that I was worried about with the new battles is that we have 3 games coming out with that same battle system. We have this, 15, and Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, the good news is I'll only be playing Kingdom Hearts 3 in this. So.
All right.
but yes, so pretty interesting news. I think the very mixed opinions on the episodic nature of a game like this. Hopefully we'll see episodic done right for the first time in a while, because I have not been super satisfied with episodic games lately. The Minecraft one I really like, but it's just the episodes are a little too short.
Yeah, you have to keep to a strict schedule, too.
They've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, that's like already going on to its 4th episode, and it came out in October.
Yeah,
that's pretty
good. They're doing a darn good job of doing it consistently. It's no Guise of the Wolf in terms of release schedule, but that said, it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours per episode, which is a little too short for me. I think 4 hours is good for an episode. But anyways, all that said, pretty excited. We had the PlayStation Experience broadcast, over the weekend.
Show.
Yeah, show thing. That was cool. We got to see a lot of the new PlayStation VR stuff.
Mm-hmm. Ace Combat in VR.
Yep, that's
I'm all right
we
with
got
that.
More of that Final Fantasy news. That's where actually we got some of that Destiny news too.
Mm-hmm.
No Man's Sky had some cool new footage to check out. What are you guys thinking about? Did you guys see the footage for No Man's Sky?
I did not.
I'm curious. What are you guys thinking about it? I'm like starting to worry a little bit because it looks great and there's cool potential to it, especially with like the new Wanted system they're showing. But it's starting to feel very much empty to me. And after playing Just Cause 3, that is making me a little nervous.
I was going to say, I forget what Max was talking about before we started recording, but it sounds like that game. Like, I worry it's going to be something where you feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again.
Elite Dangerous?
I mean, Elite Dangerous is a sim. Like, you are a space trucker for the most part. A lot of that game is spent in space, empty space, or dogfighting if you're by planets or an objective or something, but it's very much like self-driven. Now, I believe No Man's Sky is being sold as a self-driven game in the sense that you want to explore. Absolutely. I don't think it's going to feel as empty as Elite Dangerous has, in my opinion, but I think it's going to be very much dependent on how much you want to invest in your own objectives, not...
I just hope there are enough objectives. Yeah. Like, it better not just be... You know,
go to a planet.
I don't know if you have to eat or something,
observe things.
Yeah, observe, like tag different animals, report back, and then move towards the center of the universe. Like, I really am hoping there's going to be some kind of emergent gameplay. Like, oh, this planet has an entire civilization on it with awesome buildings that are randomly generated and people who say nothing or speak a different language. But
they've been so hush on civilizations, though.
Like, that's what I need to know about.
Right.
That's what I care
about.
But
even if you look at the overview of a planet as you're about to land on it, you can see there's tons of icons and markers, so we know it's not going to be as simple as, you know, identify some wildlife, and there's space stations and some sort of economy and obviously factions, but
I don't know anything yet.
Okay.
I mean,
That's fair.
I'm interested and I'm intrigued, mm-hmm. but I've been burned by overhyped early access more than once.
Yeah. The only progression that I've heard of from No Man's Sky is you can upgrade your weapons, your ship, and that's about it.
And some of the planets do look cool. They're unique.
All the planets look gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, they're incredible. The design is great. Don't get me wrong, but a pretty picture is not a video game.
Yeah.
Like, I can walk around in an environment, but that doesn't mean that I think it's a good game. Hence me not liking, you know, stuff like Gone Home.
Yeah.
But all that said, you know, it still looks intriguing. Mm-hmm. I liked the idea that unlike in the new Grand Theft Auto, you actually, or I think they might have patched this in now, but it looks like you actually get truly escalating enemies as you get more wanted.
Oh, okay.
I remember never being able to get tanks to come after me in GTA 5, which is very upsetting. But
in single player or online?
Single player.
Okay.
With No Man's Sky, like, I really liked seeing like the monolith type looking enemies, like the Wall Striders or whatever mm-hmm. they called them, coming in. And also I can't remember who the developer was that not of No Man's Sky, but the guy who was sitting in with him, the Japanese developer, but it is adorable. It's worth watching that video just to see how excited he gets. I'm gonna get
Shuhei Yoshida.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And oh my god, he's so funny. Yeah. He's like, oh, can I go now? Like, can I play? Like, he really wants to play it. And like, oh god, it was nice. It was refreshing. I've been very, especially after the Game Awards and this, like, I've been seeing so many CEOs doing the button down thing. Yeah. And so it was just nice to see somebody being a gamer.
It's a nice change of pace.
Definitely. Also, we saw Nathan Drake in talking. There's dialogue options, sure. I guess, in the new Uncharted, which there are very mixed feelings about. Personally, I'm not a huge Uncharted player. I only played the first two. But they are, I don't feel like this is a game that needs that dialogue because it's
it feels vaguely out of place.
The thing that people always say about it is it's like playing a movie. That's the number one description I hear about the game. And if you're making choices, doesn't that kind of like,
but the segment that they showed was, Nate's talking to his brother and they're catching up and you choose what, like, the biggest thing in Nate's life is.
Sure.
And then it fades to black after that. Like, he starts the conversation and it just kind of goes to black. So it's not really like a choice that's going to change anything. It's just,
well, I don't know about
that. It might, but
I'm sure it is.
But at least for what they showed, it was just kind of like, oh, like, I get to choose what my favorite part of the Uncharted series was that I could tell Nate's brother.
Yeah. Fair. I guess it's entirely possible that's the only one, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, that said, I just think it's interesting. I feel like we've gotten a lot of unnecessary, like, voiced dialogue. I'm thinking back on Fallout 4 in particular right now, where having a streamlined system and all that, like, just, I don't know, I'm getting kind of burned out on having a voiced protagonist that I get to choose what he says. Like, either let me choose what he says, or, like, and give me a bunch of options, or just do it yourself, because I don't need to control.
And to add on to that, let us actually know what he's going to say when we pick the
option. Which, by the way, I'm running that mod on Fallout 4 now, and it's
is it good?
Amazing.
Good.
It's really, I mean, it just completely fixes every issue with the dialogue system. Well, almost every issue.
But it still doesn't let you really be a badass or an evil person.
It'll happen. It'll happen, you guys. Like, I guarantee you that is the mod that is going to be the most popular one on the Nexus as soon as it comes out. Somebody's going to write a ton of additional dialogue, link it to all of your special stats. Like, I'm sure. And it'll just not be voiced or something, which I don't care.
Which is fine. Your dude will just nod.
Yeah, God forbid. I was not a huge
fan of Fallout game without a voice acted protagonist.
Oh, no.
That'll never happen.
I was going to say, on the thing with mods, did you see the Grand Theft Auto one where they populated things more and, like, looks perfect?
Is it,
like,
the 4K one?
No, but I checked that out.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that, like, I'm pretty pumped about.
Did you see?
I mean, not that I can use it.
I don't know what you're pumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, but the, I was amazing to me was they had one shot of, like, a drugstore brick building, and even with my, like, eye, I could not tell it from a real picture. Like, it was incredible.
Is the loading still bad, though? Because that's, like, the worst thing about that game is it takes, like, 30 minutes to
load. That's a mod, so yes, it would increase load times, but I mean, that's really neither here nor there, especially because we're talking about someone who can run Grand Theft Auto in 4K on their PC.
Yeah.
So they probably have a pretty powerful machine.
Yeah.
Remember, load times are variable based on computer builds.
Sure. So. Xbox One, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On PC, GTA 5, actually, for me, the load times are actually really quick. It's just the matchmaking that's really bad.
I should get a PC.
Yeah, you should.
I'm not kidding.
Let's all get together. We'll build you one.
Do you know how long it takes me to reload after failing a challenge on PC in Just Cause 3?
Do you
like
have
a second and a half?
Do you have like $800? We'll do it for you.
I know. No, I should sell my Xbox One. Never mind. That's neither here nor there.
Anyways, other news we got was some new characters for Battleborn. Do you want to touch on that? Yeah.
There's a penguin in a robot suit,
which
I'm pretty sure we saw later in that same presentation, only for Epic's game, which I'm pretty sure was an animal in a robot suit as well.
Ah.
I'm like, oh, Toby's here too.
Yeah, I guess my excitement for Battleborn kind of died off after... You talked about Overwatch, and I saw a lot of the gameplay for it.
I think
they're very different experiences.
Yeah, they're really.
Oh, I'm sure they
people
are.
People have been comparing them, and I don't understand why. Because they're
once
nothing
a MOBA,
like
once
each other.
An arena shooter.
Yeah, they are nothing like each other.
But they're being billed as
similar. I don't think they are being
not
billed.
By the they're developers, being, well, but I mean by the stuff. Media and reporters and whatnot. So.
I suppose I can't I mean it's about as similar as Overwatch is to Smite. I mean it's they're not very similar at all. It does have different abilities, I guess. Yeah. But anyways, so there's some new characters for that and some exclusive content for PS4. Then Street Fighter V, they announced Fang.
Yeah, Fang is the last character of the main roster.
Who is Fang?
So Fang is the second in command for Shadow Liu. He's right under M. Bison. He's this really tall, I believe he's a Chinese man, who does really weird. You should just go watch the trailer. His super move is he jumps up in the air and says, "I fly like a bird," and then just starts flapping his wings.
It's his wings,
bizarre, or his arms, like
okay,
wings.
Okay, I just want.
So he has like that's a, even better. He has a robe like with really long sleeves.
I see.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Kind of Pie Mei-ish.
Sure. I've seen. I can't remember what movie it was, but there's a movie where Jet Li has that, and it's sweet because he uses his sleeves to like tie people up and stuff.
He reminds me of a mix between one of the characters from Darkstalkers, like the girl with blue hair and who has like the claws.
Sure.
Anybody who's
can't
remember her name right now. And then Faust from Guilty Gear.
Okay.
Who's like a crazy doctor with like a bag on his
head.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm getting a picture.
He seems really weird. He sounds like he's probably going to be really annoying voice wise. But I'm looking forward to see more gameplay from him. They also announced the six DLC characters for next year, and it was everything that had been leaked before. So
exciting.
Good.
Besides that, really the only other big news is that there is going to be a VR Psychonauts game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
As well as Psychonauts Dose.
I was going to get to that.
That was a different event.
Oh, I can't keep
up. Stop conflating word shows, you butt.
Although they did talk about it there. But Psychonauts would be a great VR game. Just getting in the minds of things and just seeing.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they do it. I wonder if it would be like you are stationary and then can just like, you know, look into other people's minds or how exactly they would handle it. Because isn't it called like the rhombus of ruin or something? Yep. So I'm guessing you are stuck in a rhombus room or something like that. So. But pretty excited about that as well. So that pretty much does. There was a couple other things out of the
Nino Kuni 2,
but
that's kind of big.
Oh yeah, sorry. The next news item is the indie games recap.
Okay.
Which actually is Nino Kuni not indie?
No.
I thought it was. Okay.
It's
Nino Kuni's coming. Too.
It's Square Enix and Level 5.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they'll find a way to put microtransactions in it.
Probably.
But, Nino Kuni. They're making a sequel, and people are quite excited. I did not play Nino Kuni, so
I didn't either. But I'm excited that.
Apparently
that high profile
Sidekick is coming back and people are really excited about that.
Mr. Drippy?
Yeah.
Is he?
That he was in some of the promotional art, but not in the video.
Well, I mean, Ni No Kunis are basically Pokemon, so that would make sense.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Great. Studio Ghibli makes really pretty things. Level 5 makes pretty things.
Did you guys want to touch on anything else from the PlayStation experience, or do we want to wrap that?
Only that there are some fantastic looking indie games coming out for the PS4 and I'm super excited about them.
Yeah, I'm some of them look intriguing. Some of them I don't quite get, like the Brutal to me is the ugliest style I've ever seen.
It's bad.
I like it.
The idea is really cool. Yeah. I really like the idea. But
the colors are
awful,
cool too,
and it sounds terrible too. Like the sound effects are. I did not.
You
like
You know what looks amazing though? Hob.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Hob, I'm super stoked for, but that's also because I'm a giant Torchlight 2 fanboy.
Torchlight 2.
I love Torchlight. Oh my god, I love the Torchlight games. Until Diablo 3 got Reaper of Souls, those were my action RPG of choice for like a decade or however long since the first one came out. I just played them nonstop. Yes, Hob does look pretty exciting.
And then we had stealth releases of
everything.
Nuclear Throne came out this weekend.
That been out for like a year?
No, it's been early access.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Yeah, that's a great game.
Yeah.
If you guys like top-down run-and-gun shooters, like it's amazing.
And roguelikes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, roguelites. But yes, roguelikes. It's excellent. Ain't no roguelike. You get persistent content between
it is
plays.
Like
well, what? Yeah, did we? What is the difference between a roguelike?
Roguelike is more hardcore. Like it's like it's like actually like Rogue, where nothing is persistent between plays. There's like it basically they're much more unforgiving and
harder. Wouldn't that just be like an arcade game?
No.
Because if you get a game over and then you have to start over.
Have you
from
ever
the
played? There are arcade games with unlockables. Like especially old fighting games from like the late 80s, early 90s. But that's really neither here nor there. No, I mean I'm not making these terms up.
No, I know that there's both of them. I prefer
Roguelites are also games like roguelites also include games like Spelunky and stuff like that are really not like Rogue at all, but they have, you know, quote unquote permadeath.
Yeah.
So basically anything where you have some semblance of permadeath gets the Rogue prefix, but it's light if you have persistent upgrades or content in between plays. In general, they're pretty fluid phrases for both of them. I just like to correct John. all right, so that pretty much does it for PlayStation Experience. So now we jump over to the Game Awards, and I have got to say, I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10.
It's not perfect,
but
never is.
It was by far the best gaming. Really anything that's been broadcast that I've ever seen. I was really impressed. It was run extremely well. Jeff did a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
He was so real through the whole thing,
exactly.
Too.
He was real. The advertising was spot on and, like, properly marketed, although...
Way too much Star Wars Battlefront BS, though.
That was not really... That wasn't really what... I was talking more commercials.
Oh, that's
sure.
True.
That's true. Although, I partially blame... I'm sure it wasn't her choice, but the girl who was interviewing people, it was like, can you move to a different, like, booth or
so
something?
So, how about this Star Wars Battlefront game? How do you like this? It came out a few weeks ago.
And the one dude
like,
for
I
Disney?
I don't know anything. About, I mean, yes, I like it.
Cliff Bleszinski is probably like, I'm making a better shooter right now. Right. It's called Lawbringers.
The one dude for Disney was way too excited about.
Oh, John Vignacchi's always on point.
I've never seen him before like
Love
that.
John Vignacchi. You know Johnny V.
Yeah, I definitely do. But yeah, it was a great show. I mean, there's so much to talk about in this, honestly. From the Psychonauts 2 announcement, which. Oh my
Super
God,
hype.
You guys!
It's
I'm
already
so excited
as of yesterday, two thirds of the way to the 3 million mark.
2.3 today.
Yep, only needs a million in the next 32 days.
Yeah. Drop some money, Tom.
Drop it.
Well, honestly,
that or the computer.
Honestly, if you're not, if you haven't invested already, it's probably worth just waiting for the release because all of the cheap options that allow you to actually get a copy of Psychonauts 2 have pretty much been bought out. I think the minimum you can
spend
now is like $45 or something.
Yeah. That had a limit for those
ones?
Yeah,
they limited
it.
I think
the early access
has a limit, and the very first one does not give you the game at least.
Why don't we run through the winners, some of the winners and the nominees?
Yeah, we were getting there, but sure, yeah, let's just do that now then.
best family
you
game.
You just want to prove that you were right.
I know. I'm very excited about this because I called
be host.
It. I called it. You can be host, Henry. I'm just going to talk today. On your behalf right now. Best family game.
I hate you guys.
Super Mario Maker. Best fighting game, Mortal Kombat X.
That was a good
take it easy. Let's do one at a time so we can discuss them.
I still don't understand Super Mario Maker, so
I think I'm the only one who played both of those games this year.
I played Mario Maker.
Did you?
Yeah. What was the other one? I wasn't listening.
Mortal Kombat X.
Mortal Kombat.
For best fighter.
I played it at my little brother's.
Do you recommend Mortal Kombat X? Sorry, were you trying to talk about Mario Maker?
Mortal Kombat X, yeah. Well, it's Mario Maker. It's probably currently the best recent fighting game release.
It's either that or Street Fighter 4 still.
Yeah, and Street Fighter 4 is like 7 years old now or something. Yep.
They just had the final big tournament with it.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I love the old one. I'm worried about getting shaken down.
Here's the thing.
You will.
MK9 is definitely a better game.
Nope.
Oh, really?
No. Yes, it is. No. Yes, it is.
No. Wait, you're wrong. Explain your points here.
First off, the story is the best Mortal Kombat story in any game. It's incredible.
Because it's 1 through 3.
Story. Yeah, exactly. It's a really, really, it's the best remake of any game I've ever played by far. It has great, awesome story. It has all of the characters you want to play, not a couple of them, like 10. And it did. I mean, it's the best 3D Mortal Kombat game. It's so good. It's excellent. I mean, all the timings are great. The cutscenes are gorgeous. I mean, everything about that game I adored. Honestly, I thought 9 was incredible. 10, I didn't even beat the campaign. It doesn't have an interesting story. It was not a huge step forward from 9.
It's a massive, like, gameplay-wise, it's a massive step forward.
That's what I'm...
I didn't feel that it was
at all. It's a more fluid fighting game, which I like. It's more like Street Fighter.
Yeah, it's less like Mortal Kombat.
But it still has those weird Mortal Kombat, like, stiffness to it. Dial of combos.
Sure.
It's supposed to, for the record.
Right.
Mortal Kombat is.
Having the variations for the characters, I think, is great, because you can find a character that you like. Like, if you just
that
really
is
like
a cool
Scorpion...
system, I'll admit.
But you don't like the way that Scorpion would play normally.
Yeah.
He has three different variations that would focus on three different ways of fighting.
Now,
that's for every
you
character.
You also have to then learn, if you want to use them, though, you have to learn three move sets for every character.
Oh, there's no crossover combos?
There are. The basic combos crossover, but basically every single special
gets
changed. But
if you find a version of that character that you like, you can keep using that character. Like, none of
Which
us in this
fine,
room are going to be
I don't think anybody ever said that. Like 9, you were like, oh man, Scorpion doesn't have enough specials. Like, I don't think anybody was like, I need more attacks.
No, but it's
a nice icing on the cake, but I don't think it's like
they
was
like
needed.
Some variations have specials that other variations don't.
That's cool.
So, like, who do I play as usually? Kung Jin, who's Kung Lao's ancestor or cousin.
So OP. Wait, he's the one with he's my guy too. Yeah, he's the one with the staff.
With the bow staff. Right? Yep.
So overpowered.
I was originally playing as like. He has a bow and arrow, and then he also has a chakram. Is that the correct
chakram.
Term? Like the disc blade that he would throw out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, I've got all this ranged attack. And then all of a sudden I started using his bojutsu style, which is just his bow is turned into a staff that shoots fire out of it for fireballs.
Sweet. You can do that and also use the bow.
You can, but it's his basically what I call spin to win is... special attack just breaks through armor really easily. He's really good.
I didn't think that game was very well balanced compared to 9 at all. Like, especially characters like him, which I play him. He's my main, and I openly admit he's super overpowered. He's way too fast and has way too much reach.
See, because I felt like 9 was pretty balanced and people could get into it. Like, we played it a ton, so we got good at it. But like, someone could just pick up, and if they were lucky, could win or at least have fun. You know what I mean?
Let me be clear. I'm not saying that Mortal Kombat 10 isn't a great game or that it's not worth buying. What I'm saying is 9 is better.
We just have preferences here.
Yeah,
that's it.
I just want to make sure that I'm being clear, because I do love Mortal Kombat 10. I don't regret spending the money on it, even though I didn't beat it all the way, because I still do play it on occasion when I want to play a multiplayer fighter.
Right.
That said. 9 also had a better like microtransaction type system, which didn't even have one. I don't think it did.
I don't remember.
Skins.
Just new characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's right.
And I really, especially for Mortal Kombat in particular, it's the fighting game that has an awesome story. Like, I think for Mortal Kombat has the best story of any fighter. And
I think they did
the story that's so good. That's all the movies. That's all the fan films. It's all the first three games, and also I think. Is it the fourth or whatever? They like revisit 3 or what?
So in 10, they fix what 4 and beyond is and what it's going to be. So like 4 was a train wreck to begin with. And then going into like Deadly Alliance, I'd like swore by like Deadly Alliance and Deception and Armageddon. I don't know why. I really loved those games. But
Armageddon was no fatalities. That was kind of messed up.
It was creative fatalities. Yeah. Really, really.
It was
dumb.
Weird, but I liked it because you had customizable character And it had a pretty unique single player.
Was that the one with like the two twin brothers? One was good, one was evil, and then you were.
I don't remember. I just remember that it had like a third person, yeah. like. Running around yep. campaign yep. like with puzzles to
that's
solve.
Right that's
and, like,
right
like
that's
it
right.
wasn't just a series of fighting
yeah
that's how that kind of neat
yeah Deception and Armageddon both had
it was pretty those, janky yep. but I was oh, yeah. I'm sure it was Armageddon
it's lovably it janky
on, was it on PlayStation
probably
yeah
PS2 or not
yeah PS2 but anyways though I don't know I think that 10 is definitely worth your money I just yeah. I personally
you can
prefer
find 9. It for cheap too
yeah
But oh, and also, I don't know about you guys, but like the thing that turned me off of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series when I was a kid was when suddenly they went, oh, you know the protagonists you've been reading about for two books? They're gone now. Now you're talking, now it's their children. Mm. F that. I am invested in these characters. Mortal yeah. Kombat is known for its story. I don't want to play.
All those characters are still there.
Yeah, sure they are, except they're taking care of their kids. Like, I do
there's
not.
There's three characters with kids.
Yeah, and the kids are like. Half of the story. Don't try and downplay.
No, it is like the next generation.
Yeah,
but
that's the whole theme of the game.
Children are our future, Henry.
The future sucks.
We did skip over some news for this. There was they announced the characters of the next combat
yeah,
pack.
That drunk guy is in it, right?
Yeah, Bo Raicho. Yeah. I don't know how to feel about Bo Raicho.
Wait, is he the
drunken master
or whatever?
No.
Oh, who am I thinking of? That's Street Fighter.
Yeah,
you're
thinking of that dude.
Yeah. That guy was amazing.
He is really great.
He's hilarious.
Loved it when Infiltration just busted him out and basically won a tournament with him.
I just liked how he squirts people like out from his hat and stuff. Have you seen? You know what I'm talking
about? So good.
He's like a weird drunken brawler who also is covered. Or is it even?
No, he's just an oil wrestler.
Okay, no, yeah. He's got a giant jar of oil he carries around.
That's awesome.
And rubs it all over himself, and then all of his specials are him like sliding along the ground.
Nice.
And, like he'll grab them and squeeze their backs,
and
then
they
squirt
like,
on the top of his arms
funny.
And stuff. It's pretty great.
So with this new combat pack, they announced Leatherface. From Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
They have a lot of crossovers in this. That's one thing I'll give 10. It has some of the coolest non-Mortal Kombat. You can play as Predator. You can play as Jason.
Yeah.
Yep. You can play as
a Xenomorph, which is another one. Yes. From
Although, exciting.
It plays a little weird.
So there's a really cool thing about the Xenomorph in there is that in the trailer, they show like one of the baby aliens just popping out of Baraka's chest.
Yeah.
And the Xenomorph that they show at the end of the trailer has Baraka's blades. So
Kirby?
What?
I said Kirby?
Kirby.
Kirby in Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
No.
Well, like, traditionally, Xenomorphs, whatever they...
Yeah, whatever
like
they...
Like, symbiote from...
That's sorry, I jumped a bunch of steps ahead because I made a bunch of assumptions that everyone would know about these things.
No,
Xenomorphs
really
are unique
know.
To the race that the facehugger infests. Yeah. That's why, like, Aliens 3 has a dog alien.
Yeah. So he could have three different variations to, based on three different combatants.
That is sick.
Yep. There's a guy called Triborg, which is supposed to be Cyrax, Sector, and maybe Cyber Smoke.
That's
all
cute.
Has three different variations.
I wonder how much of that is actually the human.
I,
if it's just the cyber parts from all of them. They should call him Tridroid.
It might just be a dude who's just taking their powers.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because in the trailer they showed, I think it was Sector's head.
Do they have
and they
powers? I thought it was all just technology for them.
Both. Because they're Lin Kuei.
Oh,
they,
yeah,
they harness
right.
the power
right.
of elements
you're
and
right.
stuff like that. But a lot of it's like technology once they mm-hmm. move on. Yep.
I never actually, I'll be honest, that's one of my least favorite parts of the Mortal Kombat canon is the weird, like, we are going to be cyber ninjas. Like, you
we're
going to
live forever.
As demon ninjas. Yep. Like, these dudes can do magic. You don't need lasers when you can freeze dudes solid with your bare hands. Just saying.
The Black Dragon is, they're very concerned with technology.
Yeah, fair, yep. fair. Yeah, they are. Don't get me wrong. I know. But yeah, so that's wow. That was a lot of talk about a game that was not even discussed at the Game Awards.
It won an award.
Wait,
Mortal Kombat won Best Fighting Game.
Oh, duh.
That's how we got on this.
I'm super.
20 minutes.
I'm sorry. I got very distracted and passionate about this discussion, and then forgot the news story. So yeah, so you want to continue down the list?
Best multiplayer game, Splatoon.
Yes, easily.
Haven't played it.
I think it's worth it.
I've really
played very little of it, but it's certainly the most innovative.
Yep.
Best mobile, Lara Croft Go. I don't know if I'd agree with that,
I disagree more strongly. That game is not even good.
Like, I've enjoyed my time with it, but
it's not even. I played better free mobile games.
Speaking of free mobile games, I've been playing the heck out of Hungry Cat.
And
it is very, very fun. Yeah. I'm super addicted. I finished all the easies and then jumped to expert. So nice. It is fun.
Yes. Highly recommend still. If you guys haven't tried Hungry Cat Cat Picross, it is the best iOS Picross.
Esports player of the year, Kenny S. Quote Kenny S. Shrub.
Which is, what does he play?
Counter-Strike.
Thank you. And
Team NVS.
Yes. And so there's not a whole lot to say about this unless you guys have been following him super closely.
Not really.
That's cool. I'm sure he deserves it.
Yeah.
Esports game of the year, speaking of, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. And speaking of Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
I didn't think that should have won that category, just as a side note.
What would you have gone for? One of the MOBAs?
I would have said either, well, a MOBA, or I would have said this is the best year in years for RTS. I would have probably given it to Legacy of the Void. I don't know if Legacy of the Void released in time, but then I would have given it to Heart of the Swarm.
No, I don't think it did.
The tournaments were really good this year. They had some really big upsets. It was really fun to watch. I would have given it to that or probably to League, honestly.
Sure.
But that's just me. Yeah. Maybe they got tired of the same stuff winning every year, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think CSGO is cool, but I don't think it's
I think that
watch.
One might have been voted on by fans. There were a couple of them that were.
I mean, I'm not going to dismiss that it should have won or something. I just personally, I watch a lot of esports, and I find CSGO to be one of the most boring to watch personally. As cool as it is when people, throw synchronized smokes over, buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
That is pretty sweet, but I don't know. I don't like first-person shooters for esports. I just don't.
Tom, who is your esports player of the year?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Damn,
I was going to jump in there and give myself the award.
John Madden. The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
I heard he had a good year. And
Mark Cuban. Dude, Marky Mark, my guy.
That's actually a kind of funny answer. Good job, Tom. Yeah, but okay, let's keep going. A couple more of these to get through.
Yeah. Best narrative, Her Story.
Sure, that was kind of a make-your-own-narrative.
Most anticipated
that had its own narrative.
I liked the idea of that game, but I wasn't a huge fan of the story. And I just would like to say that I probably can't think of a better winner. So
than Witcher 3?
I'm sorry.
Mortal Kombat X?
I need the nominations in front of me. Mortal Kombat X has
Mortal
the
Kombat
garbage
X
story. It is garbage.
Amazing.
The story is garbage.
The story's not great. I like where I left off. But
sure, the
great.
Last 10 minutes are good. But the story is seriously, you guys, can I get invested in anything?
Mario Maker.
I mean,
was that?
It didn't have a story.
Yeah, there's no story.
Would Fallout be considered in this, or is it
sure
too late?
It would be. It came out in time.
Yeah, we could pull up the nominations as
yeah
well,
could
but...
you because I am terrible in case you guys haven't
yeah
noticed.
I got it,
right. I honestly though I would have given it to Witcher 3 hands down. I think it's I think the Witcher 3 won too much because there's no
it only
question.
Won two games or two awards.
Yeah, which is the most.
All right. Yeah, no, best narrative. It was Life is Strange, Tales from the Borderlands, Witcher 3, Until Dawn, and Her Story.
What the hell kind of list is that? That's a terrible list. And
wait,
also,
Until Dawn's on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It was. Which sure. Until Dawn deserves to be on there. It shouldn't win because it's a typical narrative.
Yeah.
But I mean, Her Story, really, it was interesting. It's maybe the most innovative indie game of the year, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of predictable.
But in your personal opinion, Fallout 4 could qualify. If you were in charge of this.
I mean, no, actually.
Okay.
As somebody who's beaten the story, I mean, it's interesting and it's worth talking about, but it's not I stay up at night.
You wouldn't just immediately be like, this was one of the best.
Let me put it this way. I Bioshock Infinite is my least favorite of the Bioshock stories. And
wow.
I would say that second favorite. But that said, I would say that this had a significantly better story than that. I just still don't think that it was story of the year.
Sure.
Next, we have the most anticipated game of the year, No Man's Sky. I don't think you could argue much with most
hyped. Definitely could. Try Overwatch.
Yeah.
I'm actually pumped about that. I knew nothing about it.
I mean,
until
but is
try
it
Overwatch? Try Doom. Try what are the
Final
nominees?
Fantasy VII remake?
Yeah. I'm hesitant about Doom, but
we know
the
you played it, right?
Can you read us the nominees?
Yes.
Oh, and the nominees
for Most Anticipated, there were nominees. That was just a little thing.
I'm actually shocked.
It was every game.
I'm actually shocked because I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like the hype for No Man's Sky is almost completely gone.
Yeah.
Like I had almost forgotten about it.
Last year would have been.
Yeah, last year, yeah. Definitely. But this year, that's kind of.
Just keeps getting delayed.
Yeah, it actually, honestly, it almost feels a little fake. It's really weird to me because I don't think that there's a ton of people talking about it.
Like, hey, remember we announced. We announced that here 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Remember? I don't think there's that much excitement for that, but that's I could be wrong, but that's just from my perspective.
Yep. Best indie game nominee is Axiom Verge, Her Story, Ori and the Blind Forest, Rocket League, Undertale, and Rocket League took it.
Deserved.
Yep. Best sports racing game also went to Rocket League.
That doesn't make sense, except for sports.
Yeah, but it's not a racing game at all. I mean, it has wheels.
Well, you have to race other players to get to the ball first.
Okay, well, in that case, Destiny didn't need to add sparrow races because you
could
already
race best racing game. I was going to joke that it was Destiny's 3-week game.
I'm going to skip some of these. I'll just quickly skim. Games for Impact, Life is Strange.
Yeah, I can see that.
Games for Impact.
Best fan creation, Portal Stories. Developer of the Year. So the nominees were Bethesda, CD Projekt Red, From Software, Kojima Productions, Nintendo.
This is such a hands down category.
CD Projekt Red.
Oh my God, color me shocked. I can't believe that inarguably the best company to grace gaming in decades won.
That's a bold claim.
I don't think it is. I think that they have the most consumer friendly practices.
Yeah, agreed.
They don't put any DRM on their games. They have the best post-launch support I've ever seen. And they're single-player titles. They could totally get away with not patching that stuff.
And where are the microtransactions?
Yeah.
Tell me, Henry. Where are they?
It's so good. It's so good. They're where the sun don't shine.
Which is where they belong.
Exactly.
Best art direction. Batman Arkham Knight, Bloodborne, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ori and the Blind Forest, The Witcher 3.
This was an interesting category. Because, I think that there were a fair number of reasonable options.
That's fair. I believe this is one that I called Ori and the Blind Forest.
I do not think that Ori. Out of all of those, I think Ori.
It was so pretty.
Arkham City. Arkham City, whether or not you liked the game, had really good art direction.
It was kind of the same as
it really
Arkham.
Wasn't. It really wasn't like Arkham City at all.
Really?
I couldn't disagree more. I mean, it was very different. I mean, they rebuilt the entire city because it's, for the car and stuff
that. Well, yeah.
No, also, it had a much heavier gothic element. And in particular, if you got to the final confrontation, there's a point in the story where everything goes to hell. Have you guys all beaten it?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet.
It's still sealed at my house.
Okay. So there's a point in the story where there is a major change, and the art direction on it is some of the best I've ever seen in a video game. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about the clouds?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's incredible. But that said, I guess since it wasn't a great game, I think it probably colored people's opinions a little bit, because I really did think that it had super solid art direction. And Ori looked decent, but I mean, Dust didn't win, and Dust is a better looking game.
And made by one dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Ori worth buying?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No?
Yes. No. For Tom? No.
2-1. Tom. Oh, yeah, no.
Tom,
yeah.
do you guys even, you guys Tom, just no, want to be fair. Right so bad.
Do you like Metroid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a terrible way to ask somebody if they. I mean, good lord, man, that's just.
Do you like
mean.
Beautiful Metroid?
Do you like incredibly difficult two-dimensional platformers?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. All right. That answers
Tom's
question.
That's the question.
Best.
You're so mean.
Best action adventure game.
Do you like cats or do you like dogs?
Do you like getting punched by dogs?
Tom, do you like white orbs?
Do you like action adventure games, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Because the nominees.
Do you like
I can
crying?
Find it. You know, Polygon, next time you list nominees and winners, either put them on the same
Polygon,
page
next
or
time
put
you
them
do
in
our
the same
job
order.
For us, could you make it more convenient?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Batman Arkham Knight, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ori and the Blind Forest, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Metal Gear took it.
What's the category again?
Best action adventure game.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Action adventure is like a terrible genre.
It is. Like, it doesn't really fit anymore. Because
I wouldn't say that Metal Gear Solid is an action adventure. It's an adventure. Well, it's not. It's an action.
It's an action game.
It's an action third person RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
fun fact, Metal Gear also took the best score, which they did a live rendition of one of the songs at the Game Awards.
Boy, was it awkward.
It was super awkward.
But that was right after Keeley called Konami out.
Yeah.
The best moment.
Yeah, let's take a minute and talk about that.
Well, no. Second best moment, hands down, of the show. I adored that.
Mm-hmm.
So Keeley comes out, gives Metal Gear Solid, or announces that Metal Gear Solid wins, then explains that Kojima would have been at the ceremony to accept his award. However, he's been banned by Konami from attending. And he says this live on air, on mic, in front of an entire audience of gamers. And they booed and hissed and
it was so good.
Jeered. It was amazing. It was so real. And he said it in the most professionally dismissive way I've ever. Yep. Oh, my God. It was perfect.
He's like, this is an injustice. By the way, here's a little special surprise for my friend Kojima.
Yeah.
We have the song.
Which, yes.
Yep. Which was the lady who played the Quiet, right?
Yes, I believe it
her
was.
Her Quiet? Yeah.
I know she looks like exactly. At very least, it's the CG.
Model?
Yeah. Or the motion capture artist.
Was she dressed like Quiet?
No.
No.
She was wearing... Everyone on Twitter was like, this is the most clothes I've ever seen Quiet
well,
wear.
You guys, there's no sunlight inside that stadium. So obviously it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Jeez. Get your lore straight.
Spoiler. Spoiler.
What else have we got?
Best performance, Viva Seifert, her story. Best.
Strongly disagree.
You mean for Witcher 3?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because
nope,
they
nope,
announced
definitely,
it
definitely
wrong.
Says her, oh, that's
they announced
that's
it
right.
wrong
that was,
live on stage and read it as.
Whoever wrote that card.
Her from The Witcher 3, yeah. Which, well, who are the nominees for that category?
Yeah. Best performance nominees, we have. Boy, these are out of order.
Okay. It was the guy from The Witcher 3.
Geralt, right?
Geralt.
Yeah, so Geralt, Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Two who are much, much better performances right off the bat. Yep.
Mark Hamill on The Flash this week is really good.
Mark Hamill's just great in everything.
Camilla Luddington as Lara Croft.
Sure.
And Ashley Birch as Chloe Price from Life is Strange.
Literally all of those except for... I didn't play Life is Strange, yep. Really, so I can't speak
that
one, to it.
That one's
all
right.
I've seen gameplay
all
of it, though.
The other three you listed are all distinctly better performances. I'm sorry. I played her story, yep. And I liked it. And it deserves credit, and it deserves to have won the category that it had already won. But best performance? It's FLV. Like, it's it's not. It's right. Just a girl sitting in front of a camera. It's not impressive. Right.
When you consider the time.
Is Skyping with your friend an impressive performance?
The time she put into it compared to the amount of time that, Geralt or.
It's not most time.
No, dedicated. I know. But just the consistent quality and how long it took for that performance.
I guess. I mean, Geralt was doing weren't they doing like or some of these games though? The voice actors were also doing the reason it's best performance is because they were doing motion capture too. Like she may have been on film, but
she moved in the film.
Yeah, her shoulders moved from left to right to left again. Sometimes she expresses.
Best role playing game: Bloodborne, Fallout 4.
That was a weird emphasis.
Bloodborne.
Pillars of Eternity, The Witcher 3, Undertale.
One more time.
And it went to... We have Bloodborne, Fallout 4, Pillars of Eternity, The Witcher 3, Undertale. And it went to Witcher 3.
Well deserved.
And best shooter.
This was a surprise.
Also,
yes.
Well deserved.
Yeah, well, very interesting.
Call of Duty, Destiny, Halo... Star Wars Battlefront, Splatoon.
Now, I'm going to be honest. So Splatoon won,
mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting, and I think deserved, especially because it was definitely the most innovative shooter. However, as much as I've ranted on about it, in terms of mechanics, I kind of feel like it very well could have, I'm not going to say should have, but could have easily been Halo 2. I mean, Halo, whether or not you like that game, for all the bad things I've said about it, the shooting mechanics are solid.
Right.
They really are. I think it's very interesting that Splatoon won. I'm actually kind of surprised. The panel, I wouldn't have expected them to vote that way.
I've played most of those games this year.
I would definitely give it to Splatoon.
It's fair, but let's also be clear, though. You do tend to lean Nintendo for a lot, for almost everything.
But that whole last level in the single player in Splatoon was
brilliant. The only person in this room who knows what you're talking
about. Yeah, why don't you tell us about it?
So it's
are you going to spoil the game about being a squid and a kid?
It's this like 30-minute long, just gauntlet, like bullet hell boss fight of the like this squid in a giant robot that's a DJ. Look it up. It's amazing. The music's great. It's very challenging. It's kind of mesmerizing too while you're playing it. That was
bullet hells will do that to you.
Yep. And then just the multiplayer stuff in there. That's the most fun I've had with a quote unquote shooter. Cause I don't know if you can fully,
it's a paint
that.
Gun.
Yeah. You can have paintbrushes.
Yeah, that's true.
You can have rollers.
It's a dripper.
You do shoot people with basically squirt guns, but
I mean, isn't one gun literally like a paint roller?
Yeah. And they actually have a paintbrush.
That's great.
As well.
See, I want to play more of it. I've only played like an hour of the single player. Yeah. I want to try some multiplayer stuff.
It does look really
nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a cool, neat idea, and it's an original IP from Nintendo. I say laud them with all the praise for having an original idea.
Sure. It was originally supposed to be a Mario Galaxy sequel. Mario Galaxy, Mario Sunshine.
Which, honestly, I would have been possibly happier with. Because I really, I'm the weirdo.
No,
I
love Sunshine.
But I love Sunshine.
No, no, no. I'm with you on Sunshine.
Well, I thought I
already heard. I liked it.
No, I heard Tom. Somebody was.
You didn't like Sunshine?
Well, I like Galaxy and I like 64 better.
Galaxy just that's fine.
To me, it would be probably like definitely Sunshine over the first Galaxy. As good as it is, like Sunshine had, oh my god, the graphics at the time like were.
That's fair.
The polish on that game, plus the music on Delfino Island.
I'm not going to argue
and
with
like
either
the
of those.
Yoshi implementation in that versus like even Galaxy 2, which I'm playing and having a blast in right now. Yoshi's garbage in Galaxy.
Yeah, he's pretty basic in that.
Like, does Galaxy have a hub world at all, or is it really just kind of like
your
planet
ship.
Hopping?
It's like a level.
Galaxy
select.
2 has Galaxy 2 has your ship planet,
right?
Which is shaped like Mario's head and is kind of adorable.
And then you go through like the regular Mario looking level select.
Okay.
Galaxy 1 has a hub world,
which was
it's very small, and it's
the worst, and it makes it take an extra arbitrary 45 seconds or 30 seconds to get in between every single level. It's
another
so
opportunity
exhausting.
For a loading screen game.
Nintendo, if you're going to say one thing about Nintendo, it's that they have pretty good load times. Yeah. I mean, but I love Sunshine, so I would have been okay with a sequel, honestly. But
now,
I think this is even better. Because now they can do some crazy new stuff. I want to see what kind of spinoffs and stuff they do.
All right, ready for the big one? Game of the year. Bloodborne, Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, Super Mario Maker, The Witcher 3.
Can somebody just tell me really quick? I may have asked this last week, so forgive me if I did. But have I just been living like under a rock this year? Because basically since it's come out, I have not heard someone say boo about Bloodborne.
Oh, I love Bloodborne.
Sure.
It happened so early this year that
it was like a
kinda,
January release.
He had DLC that came out like a month ago, and nobody's still talking about
it. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Really.
Yeah, it was kind of like.
And it sounds like pretty cool DLC. You can like turn into a monster or something, mm-hmm. which that sounds neat.
Which they kind of had in the first version of it.
Oh, okay.
It's just more so now.
But I don't know. To me, like that could have won an art direction for sure.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know about like.
When it comes to game of the year, like
game
that's
of the year
that's
in
up there.
This year
that's
of all
year,
but in this year, which was an incredible year for gaming. Mm-hmm. So you think it's like better than like Splatoon wasn't on there? Do you think it should have been? Would you put Splatoon on there over it?
For my list, Splatoon would be in the top 10. I don't know where I'd place those two.
Fair.
That's something I've been thinking about.
It's just
a lot
interesting
lately.
To me because as much as Bloodborne is cool and the setting is cool and you feel cool when you're playing it, it didn't seem to really stick with people. Like, it's not like everyone's talking about, I hope we see the new Bloodborne system in the next game that releases. I haven't heard like a ton of like,
it's been in conversations about Dark Souls 3, and you are kind of seeing that
that
influence.
It is Dark Souls,
right?
And
that's really all that you want to see that in.
Yeah,
is another Souls game.
I just hope. I mean, here's the thing. It didn't really innovate either, though, did it?
Dark
Souls 2 was more of an innovation than it is,
For that series, I'd say combat-wise, it's an innovation.
Okay. Because of the cool double weapons.
The double weapons and just the movement, because it's a lot quicker. You have dodges, and you can actually regain health by attacking enemies while your like red health is fading away.
Sure.
So It made it more accessible. Like, that was probably the easiest Souls game, in my opinion.
Sure. I don't know. Just I feel like they didn't really improve on the Dark Souls formula enough for it to be a game of the year, because it wasn't very innovative. And to me, it did not get nearly as much talk outside of just hardcore Sony fans.
Yeah.
Like, I know it is a PlayStation exclusive, but I'm saying, like, even among people who are, you know, casual Sony players who have, like, all the consoles, they weren't still talking about it at the end of the year, I guess.
I am.
You are, but you're a terrible example.
I am a terrible example for a journalist. Human being.
Like, that's what happens. anyways, though, so that Witcher 3 well-deserved it, I think.
Yeah. Is this a game I have to play even though it's
Witcher
so long?
3?
Yeah.
Witcher 3?
I'm not going to start
Wait,
now.
No, so
I think so.
You like Dragon Age Inquisition, right?
Yeah, and I like Witcher too.
Think of it.
Do you like Super Smash Bros?
I do.
Do you? Yeah, it's basically Smash Brothers, but with Dragon Age characters.
The dialogue options are insane.
Really?
Do you like to talk to people?
It is.
It's a really, 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 really good game. Just be prepared to invest in more time probably than you've ever really set aside just to play the main game. And also know that this is not Dragon Age. This is not a game where you can get away with, like, blindly, you know, don't have a couple beers and play The Witcher unless you can hold your alcohol, because it is complicated and hard throughout the game.
You have to
use your bestiary. Yeah, exactly. You have to use your bestiary. You have to know weaknesses. You can't just hack and slash because they have connecting animations in between.
Like, well, I mean, there's a super easy story mode setting he could play on.
Yeah, I guess. Why would you even just watch it? Just do it on normal if you're going to do that.
Just do the melon.
But honestly, like, the main thing is, I think that makes it different from other action RPGs is that it has a lot of really detailed connecting animations, which means when you get hit, your character doesn't, like, return to the neutral pose, and you don't get, like, the, you know, it doesn't feel like you have invincibility frames and stuff like that. What it feels like is you better block, because the game will not forgive you if you don't.
And the learning curve is
pretty steep. At the beginning, it's super steep, and then it levels out pretty quickly.
Like, once you learn, like, what, like, your, are they runes?
Like, signs.
Or your signs, which are, like, different magic spells.
He's played Witcher 2.
Oh, you did play Witcher 2?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why I've been saying yes again and again, because he liked The Witcher 2.
Okay.
And if he was able to get through The Witcher 2,
I don't remember being that. I remember it being kind of complicated, but not that.
That is a notoriously complicated
game.
This
is probably less complicated.
This is definitely less complicated.
Okay,
but the combat is more involved. Like, you have to actually try. Like, let's put it this way. I deliberately did a build that I thought would allow me to do the least possible thinking by just dumping basically every point into quick attack so that I could just spam quick slashes, and I still died regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you got to pay attention. It's a thinking game, and it's fun, and it's very cool, and it's an excellent story, but I haven't finished it. I mean, it's dauntingly,
but
it's the most dauntingly long game I've ever played.
But I guess my question is, you still enjoy it now, even though you've invested all this time in it or whatever. It's not like you get bored, 80 hours.
You will not get bored with the game. You will more likely other games you want to play will come out while it's out or while you're in the middle of your playthrough, and you may abandon it just because you're like, I just wanted to try this game.
That's basically my whole year. It's like, scratching and clawing to get back to
games.
Witcher.
Is it,
what was that?
Oh, I was going to say, just trying games.
Oh, yeah.
Henry said just game hop until you have a lull.
I'm notorious for it.
Do you understand, like, can you keep the story straight even though you're going in and out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes and no.
It depends on how things come back.
The Witcher, here's the thing about The Witcher, it's not a game I'd recommend going in and out of. I wouldn't play it. Like, I'm going to restart it when I go back to it.
But that's kind of how I play games. Like, I'm literally just playing Fallout and Tomb Raider.
What I'm saying, though, is you were asking if the story, you can follow the story if you're in and out. Yes, if you're playing one other game, but if you leave it for 6 months and come back to it, you're going to be completely lost.
Yeah, like I did with Dragon Age. Yeah. No, I understand. I think I'm going to get it because I did like Witcher 2 quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands down, it's a game you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. There was one other thing I wanted to mention from the Game Awards recap. This would be the thing that, in my opinion, took the moment of the show, which was an incredibly touching memorial for Iwata. And it was really well done. It was a very sobering moment. It was very mature, touching. I mean, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
I thought it was a true sign. I was talking to my roommate. We were watching it together on his PS4, and it was probably the most genuine moment I've ever seen in any awards show in my life. Yeah. Like, it was really special and important, I think. And so I think it was really great they did that, just personally. But yeah, that pretty much rounds up the Game Awards. Great job, Jeff. Hopefully we can do even better next year by, you know, maybe having a little bit better of, I don't know if it was the panel or what, but I'll be honest, I was not very impressed with the winners and losers. I think Witcher deserved Game of the Year, but I think there were multiple categories, like we said, like Rocket League winning best racing game. Like,
well, I mean, it's sports / racing game, I would choose that over Madden.
And it's also not
it's soccer.
Really.
It's
car soccer.
Okay.
I think, what do you guys think of the performance at the end of the show?
It was weird and awkward and a terrible ending to the show, and I kept waiting for it to be over, and then they ran the credits, and I was like, that's it? Yeah. It was extremely underwhelming.
I thought there'd be one extra surprise thing.
Look, whoever is the this senior guy who's somewhere in the gaming industry that makes the music recommendations for these events, for Christ's sake, we had Linkin Park at BlizzCon.
Yep.
We've got Deadmau5, who I like Deadmau5, but know your audience. Deadmau5 at the Game Awards. I mean, it's...
We had, like, surprise Ben Harper, which is a nice little thing.
Do they not understand that they could have all of the credit if they just had, like, a live orchestra play the Halo theme or something? Or if they just had, like, Zelda music for this show? Or they had, like video game music, I think, for a video game show? And preferably video game music that isn't largely ambient, as a lot of, like, Metal Gear, for example, music tends to be. Like, give us a theme song from a game that we love that evokes emotion, and you'll get rounding, you know, you'll get encores.
Yeah.
But give me a Deadmau5 mix that's not even one of his songs, with not nearly enough lights, doing way too much on a stage where the entire audience is like, who is this guy again? And
well, he took off his helmet. That's why everyone didn't know.
It was just strange.
And then he put on a sheet on his head to try to be a Boo.
Yeah.
That was weird.
That was...
It was very, very
that
awkward.
That was sketchy.
That was weird. I mean, Deadmau5 is cool, but it was not a good fit. But yeah, so overall, I'd say, like I said, I'd stand by that it was the best awards show really that I've seen in a long, long,
that's
long time.
That's because one thing, they don't have to answer to like network Viacom. Executives.
Yeah,
so
this
that's...
is the first year that they weren't affiliated with Viacom.
I think last year was.
Last year they still had MTV sponsorships.
Oh, did they?
Yep. anyways, though, one last bit of news here before we get to what we've been playing this week. The Counter-Strike, for the first time in, God, since I've been playing 20 years, that might be an exaggeration, let's say 10 years, they've added a new gun. They added in a revolver.
A one-shot.
It is a one-shot kill with armor at pretty much any range, if it's to center of mass or head, and it's incredibly imbalanced, and people are freaking out. It's amazing how angry people are about this.
The video on Kotaku making the rounds right now, the guy fires once as one person standing in front of him hits him, and three other teammates are rounding the corner, fires one more shot, and the bullet takes out three people.
I saw that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and not just that, but there's been reports of people sniping in Dust 2, people standing at counter-terrorist spawn, rather, and sniping people at the terrorist spawn with it, and it's supposedly a extremely
short range.
It's
supposed to be a mid-range, right?
It's supposed to be close range. It's ridiculous. It does the damage of an AWP. It's insane.
What did they do? Just not test the thing and threw it out there?
Valve. They don't test anything.
No, they let people test that.
Didn't do QA though. I mean,
no,
they let the
audience.
Exactly. It's nuts. Pro Counter-Strike players are coming out saying like, Valve, what are you doing? And this is typical Valve. They do this a lot where they'll be like, okay, we fixed one major bugbear that everyone's been complaining about, and we also unnecessarily addressed three other things and broke them completely. It's just like, that's great, but can we just go back to the last patch, which ironically is what they're actually doing in the upcoming Counter-Strike tournament this weekend, I believe it is. They have said, like, the changes are way too drastic, because apparently they also made big changes to how, like, automatic weapons fire, like a mid-range has been greatly reduced for just holding down the trigger with, like, the AK and the M4, which is pretty huge nerf, apparently, as well. They nerfed a lot of stuff, and people are not happy. Oh, did I mention that the one-shot revolver is $800 in-game, which is, like, I think cheaper than the Deagle? It's insane.
You think you would balance that by just putting it a little bit higher on the list?
I don't understand it at all. There are items that people don't even use that cost thousands in game. So I don't get it. But yeah, so that's a thing, and it's hilarious. And if you want to see some amazing nerd rage, just type it into YouTube and check out some of the top videos. And also, if you want to try it for yourself, go to a public server anywhere. You'll find that every single person in the game is using it, because there's no other gun worth using right now, apparently. So that pretty much does it for the news this week. But we have been playing quite a bit, and I am going to let Max get things started, because it looks like he has the list to end all lists.
Yes. So first off, we haven't talked about Hearthstone in an episode or two.
Oh, God.
What's that?
Just quickly want to say that
played it.
League of Explorers wrapped up today. And
what does that mean, it wrapped up?
It's the final wing open today.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry.
Okay.
And
they took it out of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, was this also a seasonal three-week event?
It is an Activision thing, so yes.
It's no longer available.
Let's be clear. Bungie is the issue with – I do not blame Activision really at all, because Activision owns many companies that I'm a huge fan of and don't have anti-consumer practices.
I have to say it was by far the most creative and fun of the wings. Easily the easiest of them. So gives some really surprisingly powerful cards, and there's going to be a lot of decks packed with these, I'm promising you. And especially with this last wing, there just seems to be some unfair advantages that people are going to have over people that don't have the expansion. Switching games, there is a little free release from the creator of the Stanley Parable. It's called Dr. Langskov, the Tiger, and the Terribly Cursed Emerald, a Whirlwind Heist.
Oh my God, am I in? I'm so in.
It,
abbreviate that for me.
It is a game on Steam for free. And basically, it's a bit of a walking simulator. It'll take you maybe 20 minutes to play. Just a quick, fun story, but very well done, really well voice acted. It's funny. It's enjoyable. I highly, highly, highly recommend you watch the trailer first and then play the game.
Okay, you said that to us before the show as well. Can you just really quick, is there additional content that's not in-game in, as part of the trailer or something?
There's stuff in the trailer that you don't see in the game, and the trailer sets you up for an experience that you may or may not have. I feel like the trailer is part of the selling point.
No problem.
But yeah, no, really fun game, really creative, not really any replayability, but it's short, and that's probably why it's free. So get at it. Also, in December, so get on it, the remastered version of that Xbox 360 launch
Castle
game.
Crashers?
No. The other one. It's a side-scrolling shooter, the Metroid-like...
Shadow Complex.
Yes, Shadow Complex is free on...
That's right.
Yeah, shadowcomplex.com. The remastered version is free in December. Get it. It's a great game.
I don't think I've actually played Shadow Complex.
Well, now you can. Good. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do you like Metroid?
I swear
is
to
my
God.
Question.
That was funny, dude.
Do you like
Super
Metroid?
Smash Bros?
Yes.
Because it has nothing to do with Super Smash Bros.
It's like Metroid and Smash Brothers with Orson Scott
Card. I'm just ignoring you guys now.
And then the last big game I played, well, I've been playing Castle Crashers Remastered, which is exactly like the first one, except with some additional content. And it's been so long since I played it. It's just cute.
Fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I co-opted all of Rayman Legends, and holy crap, is that a fantastic game.
It is so good. And it's free, isn't it?
It was on Xbox One.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Are you thinking the mobile or?
I was when I commented on our outline earlier.
Yep, okay,
but
gotcha.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, which is,
I'm talking about the console one.
Yeah, it was
so good.
The credit scene, you like get to it, and it reminded me of the Super Smash Bros. Because instead of having to sit through the credits, you can punch or break them all or blow them all up, whatever. And every time you break a letter, you get like their equivalent of coins and stuff.
Alum.
And then you can skip it once you're done.
But yeah, so much replayability. There are so many levels. Every time you beat a wing, which like in Mario terms, it would be like a world. There's like a bonus level at the end, which is a musical. And it's so fun. Super well done. So.
Is it better multiplayer or like co-op?
It depends on if you want to do
two-dimensional
challenges
platformers
or not.
Are weird and co-op.
Yeah, some levels work, some levels don't, because whoever's at the front is gonna be the one
he's gonna murder
like, surviving.
Everyone.
Yeah,
it's just I gotta check so many times.
I downloaded it for free. I should.
No, it's 100% worth it.
Yeah.
So yeah, other than that, little Just Cause 3, but yeah, and Fallout, Mad Max.
I played like nothing this week. I played.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, I played a lot, but I only played like three games.
That's like me, dude.
I played more Just Cause 3, which starting the shines off the apple a little bit for that one for me. Still think it's an excellent open world game. Mm-hmm. Still think it's one of the sandboxiest sandboxes I've played. I'm so done with these challenges, you guys. Yeah. It's such a terrible way to gate upgrades. It really is. I'm having a blast doing the story, which I actually do enjoy the story. The set pieces are cool. I'm loving, you know, as always, flying around, blowing stuff up. But it's starting to feel like a very empty world. And the challenges are not particularly fun, let alone interesting. And yeah. So, I don't know, flying through rings will never be a good time. Even in the wingsuit challenges, which I don't actually hate, they're so boring and they are really unyielding. Like, to actually get all the upgrades in this game, you actually have to do pretty darn well, and at least to get them early on when you don't have haven't gone to all the islands and stuff. It can be really infuriating trying to get like the fifth gear, especially I've found in the some of the scrapyard missions, which are super frustrating.
So you don't find it to be on par with 2, or
that's a hard question are to you answer. Two is a better game, I think, especially considering the time that it was released, because it was completely original. Well, not completely, but it was distinctly different from anything out at the time.
Sure.
And also felt like a bigger world, honestly, even though this is maybe bigger in terms of landmass. Like, there was more to do. There were so many missions in the second one, like an insane number. And
do they have like a Sky Fortress or like a... A dirigible?
Not that I've run into
like,
yet.
Like in 2?
I know.
Like when I found that, I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I like the Eagle's Nest in 1. That made me happy.
But overall, I'd say, I don't know. I'd say maybe rent it. I don't know if I would say
that's what
that.
I did. And I didn't touch it after last week, after we recorded the podcast.
And did you feel the need to go back to it or rent it again?
Not really.
I would like to say one thing.
Not yet, at least.
I have a feeling that my opinion of this game is going to increase as they release DLC for it, because Avalanche is pretty good about having really interesting DLC. This is a game where it's a destruction toolbox, so... For example, I bought all the DLC for Just Cause 2 like the week before Just Cause 3 came out, because I was just fooling around. Mm-hmm. They have stuff like an air gun that just fires people across the map, basically. That's awesome. It's like amazing. They have like a quad, or they have a grenade launcher that has bouncing Betty rounds that like split into child grenades when it first explodes. Like, they have really cool, a quad homing rocket launcher, like just insanely cool toolkit type items, and that's what Just Cause 3 needs. It needs more variety in its like weapons. It needs doesn't need additional vehicle variety. The main thing is more weapon variety, maybe one additional utility or something that you can do with your grapple, and maybe one new type of like plastic explosive. But I feel like if you're gonna give me just a sandbox, I need a few more toys to play with. All that said, still had fun playing it, but my attention has actually been mostly drawn this week to more Mario Galaxy 2. I'm playing it on a Dolphin emulator. I actually do, for the record, for those wondering, I do actually have a Wii at my mom's house. I don't own a television, though, and I do own the, I do own the game That's as fair. Well, but I it's family.
Also, just the Wii emulation, just seeing that game in a different light.
So good.
Yeah.
And also, I wish that I could – anything that's not Wii Motion Plus, I desperately wish that they let you have the option of using a mouse, because it's not just a good emulation. It's better than using a Wiimote. Like, it's really great. Like, for picking up star bits and stuff while you're running around, the degree to which it adapts to keyboard and mouse is crazy. Like, it's so easy to do. Highly recommend Dolphin if you're interested in Wii stuff. Also, it looks – amazing. Like, I have a bunch of anti-aliasing and, like, point lighting, I think it's called, or something like that. Like, a bunch of really, really cool per-point lighting. A bunch of really, really cool additional effects that make the game look better than it's ever looked on a Wii.
Yeah.
And just overall, it's just a really fun game to play with my dual monitor setup where I can just, like, I've been catching up on way, way, way too much Jessica Jones and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this last 2 weeks or so. Which, by the way, highly recommend both. This season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was excellent, and Jessica Jones is, like, really great. Yes. It's on par with Daredevil.
David Tennant was fantastic. I'd actually argue that, because I rewatched Daredevil as well after watching Jessica Jones.
Don't say it.
Oh, I'm not going to spoil anything.
That's
I think.
I was gonna say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I thought Jessica Jones was better.
That's what I thought you were going to say. And I don't agree. But that's okay. What I like in especially comic book shows is very different from what most people like. Like, I vastly prefer Flash to Arrow, which is not the most common opinion.
No, I like the I'm on board with that.
I like campiness because comics are campy.
Yep.
Like, I like the ones that are very, very close to the comics. I like Jessica Jones. It's a little too dark all the time. Yep.
There's a lot of crying in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much I don't know. It was a little too depressing all the time for me. I did like it a lot, and especially towards the end it gets really good, but there's a lot of emotional back and forth.
Yep.
And there's also several episodes that
has
feel
to do with
unnecessary,
like, the story itself and like the lore of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I think they almost got bogged down a bit with a character that is not, you know, because she's not Wolverine, the stories for her are a little more mundane, which to me got just a little bit tiresome. But
I
like,
think that's what they're going for with these Netflix shows. They're like, these characters are more human than most.
I guess. I mean, I didn't have this issue with Daredevil, though, because Daredevil was very much the comic books.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe hers is, I guess, very comic book-y. I shouldn't say necessarily, because while it is loyal to a lot of the Daredevil comics, I really enjoyed, I don't know, it just felt more like the true to the Daredevil comics. And I'm admittedly not a huge Jessica Jones fan.
Did it make you miss Ben Affleck?
No. What?
Well, Ben Affleck played Daredevil in the movie.
We don't speak of that. And also, that's not what anyone's talking about. No one has ever complimented that movie. Oh, I hate that movie so much. But yeah, I highly recommend the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
What season are they on? Three?
Three.
They're like halfway through season three, and it's really good. It's starting to get more, the budget has clearly gone up. It's much less of a drama and much more of an action show than season two was over season one, which to me is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I also played, Rayman, gosh, can't remember the name of it. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking about it. It's a mobile Rayman game.
It's the new Auto
Not
Run.
Fiesta Run.
Is it?
No, it's the third in that series.
It's, what is this? Rayman starts with an
Adventure?
A?
Adventures.
Yeah, I think it's just Adventures.
Yes. Yep.
And it's real cool. I like it a lot.
I don't know if it's a free run, though, because you can actually change direction.
You can
in
change
this.
Directions. You can jump. You can attack.
It's an auto run?
You auto run, but like you wall jump. Sure. You. Yep. I mean, it's very involved. It feels like one of the best platforming adaptations on mobile I've ever played. I think it's, I don't know if it's always free, but it's free right now. Yep. And
you know what it is? It is always free because so they hit you with microtransactions in this game. The gimmick is that there's all these little creatures you can collect.
Yeah.
And each one does different things and find secrets in the level.
Largely irrelevant, though, because they can only help you for like the first tenth of the level.
Right. So then what they do is in order to help you, you need to keep your creature happy and fed. So guess what your money goes towards? But it's great because if you like just the core Rayman games and you totally ignore the
Everybody
creatures,
loves Rayman games.
Exactly. You're good to go. You can play.
That was hilarious. That joke went right over your head.
Oh, it did.
Everyone loves Rayman.
Hey, damn
yo.
It.
But yeah, I will say, though, it isn't, I don't know. My favorite Rayman game was the one, I think it was for PS1.
Just Rayman?
Yeah, I think just Rayman. I miss throwing cool orbs at stuff. I really do. Remember when that was Rayman's thing?
Yeah.
He was like Vector Man. It was so cool. Like, pew, pew, pew. And now it's just, I don't know.
Now it's like new Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, now, Rayman prettier. Has become the platformer for them, basically, which is fine. It's excellent. I recommend it very highly. And that's all I've played this week, so let's toss it over to John.
I've been playing some Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is the newest and probably last big release this year.
Fancy.
Came out Friday? Yeah, so it's a spiritual successor to the Wii game,
Xenoblade Chronicles also came out on 3DS earlier this year.
So pretend that you're the only one in the room that plays Wii
games. I can't imagine that being the
just case. Pretend for a second that no one else is even remotely interested in this and explain it like we're complete children.
So it is an MMO anime.
I'm out.
All right. Yep.
Wait. I can't, I'm back. I'm back. Okay.
Are you? Are you? More. Okay.
Yes. One foot in the is in the door though.
All right. What do you want to know?
Everything.
As people who just don't want anything to do with this already, I know that.
First off, you said MMO.
Yep.
Can you
so
specify?
You have a hotbar of attacks, like 7 or 8. You also have up to 3 party members. They each have their own hotbar of attacks as well.
Are they multiplayer? Like, are they actually, is it actually an MMO?
No.
Okay.
No, so it's single player.
Gotcha.
But you have, like, Dragon Age Inquisition, you would have 4 party members.
Yep.
But you can't switch between them. What you can do is set up, like,
don't
a logic
dare.
Table.
Oh, my God.
No, but it's, so, I feel like I do this every goddamn week.
Try and talk me off a ledge. You'll never save me!
Jump, Henry.
Yep, so... Just keep jumping. They have this weird conversation system during the fights. So as you do attacks, like your character will shout something out like, hey, get in there. And then other characters will go in and use their melee attacks. When they say stuff to you, you have to do basically their like your melee or a buff or a heal or some sort of special ability that corresponds to what they said to do a boosted attack.
Oh,
and then to continue that chain. So
is that hard to do or
no, what's... not really. It's like they'll say like, oh, get in there and it'll be like orange text above them. And then your orange abilities will be flashing. You'll select that attack and then it'll do more damage.
Cool.
So it's like this neat way of just making your teammates actually feel like they're working together. It has a huge, huge open world that's beautiful. You guys should go take a look at that. It's,
can you give us like a size comparison to another game? Because huge open world describes every game that came
out
this year.
It's probably the size of Far Cry 3. Or not Far Cry 3. I did it. I did what you did. Just Cause 3.
400 square miles?
Is that how big
is,
that
like,
is?
Record-breakingly large.
So I'm only in the first continent. There's 5 continents. Uh-huh. I have only explored like an eighth of the first continent and I've been playing it for about 6 hours.
Is it kind of content dense though, or is
like there's animals everywhere for you to attack.
That's not quite what I mean. I guess what I'm mean? Saying is like we were talking about Midgar earlier, like Midgar is not like the big part of that game. It's like a starting part, but you spend hours and hours and hours there because it's like the most densely packed location in the game. So my question is more like how much is there to do in each zone, but like how much actual like custom straight up content that was coded for you to do.
Seems like quite a bit
stuff.
Quite a bit. Like,
cool. That's one of my beefs. Yeah. With Cause is that it feels very empty. Yeah.
You have like mission, like story missions that you can go on, but there's also a, like a mission board to go to. And every time you go there, there's like 15 quests, to go do in the world. I like it so far. I mean, it's anime as hell. So if you don't really like anime things, you might not like this.
I'm out.
But it looks really nice.
Off the ledge.
I think.
I've got one finger now.
Would you recommend this for Tom?
Do you like Dragon Age?
Yeah.
Do you like Metroid?
Yeah.
Do you like Smash Brothers?
Do you like Smash Brothers? It's gonna kind of scratch that Dragon Age itch.
Okay.
But also like future sci-fi, like you're humans that were sent to another planet because Earth blew up. You're the only colonization that made it.
It's insanely weeaboo.
It's like Titan A.
Like,
yeah,
it's
nah.
Crazy, like anime crap, basically.
Nah, I'm off the ledge.
If you like future punk cyber tech.
What about that tentacle porn you're into?
Hey, I'm down for that.
That's a little bit unfair.
Yeah, exactly. That could be really the 1800s unfair. For
totally
all you
joking.
Know. It's magic.
Totally joking. There's some tentacles.
I don't know. I really like it. I've heard people have soured as time has gone on.
Sure.
Like,
so how many hours did you say you were?
It's kind of been a common theme with games this year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of hype this year.
It's one of those big open world games that you don't get one of the big mechanics until about 40 hours in, which is the mechs. So you get like giant mechs to fly around the world. It's also one of those games, like if you can see it, you can go there.
Isn't that like every game nowadays?
But if like there's floating islands and
cool
crazy like landscapes and stuff like that, like they highly encourage exploring.
Cool. I'm having fun with it.
It sounds neat and intriguing. It's just not for me.
Right.
My interests, not because it's a bad game, to be clear. That sounds very it sounds very cool. If I was to, more into MMO type games.
Intervene, you mentioned it would be the last big release. I have a couple exciting.
Well, we've run out of our way to prove you wrong, as always. John.
Absolutely, absolutely. But no, this was kind of big news.
What?
Yakuza 5 has finally come to the States, and it's on PlayStation 3.
Is it out now?
And then, yep.
And put the emphasis on the wrong syllable a lot.
No, I just do it to bother you. Me and my pregnant pauses.
When are you due?
No, I'm never. It's I'm forever pregnant.
Okay.
But also Minecraft.
You might want to get that fixed.
Minecraft.
You can go see a doctor.
Is finally coming to the Wii. But we finally get King's Quest Episode 2 this month.
I forgot about that game.
Remember that game? Yeah. So they kind of dropped the ball on some stuff.
And this is why a lot of people don't like episodic content.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're doing an episodic game and the episodes are more than a month apart, and it's not something like Final Fantasy, where presumably each episode is going to be like 8 hours or something, you can't. Yeah, I'm not going to buy your game. I'm just going to wait for it all to come out, and then I might buy it all. You're never going to get the because I mean, like that's what happened to me with The Wolf Among Us. I really wanted to like that. I loved the first episode of that game. Could not wait to get more into it, and then.
It took like a month and a half.
It was no, it was way worse than a month. It was like 4 months or something. Like it was crazy.
Have they announced that that's a series that they're going to continue with?
I don't think they've announced.
I think they want to. They did announce Batman this last weekend.
Yeah, that's interesting. I forgot about that.
I wonder if it's going to be black and white.
I'll tell you this: it's the only possible way you could have gotten me intrigued about a Batman game right now, because I'm still pretty soured after Arkham City or Arkham Knight. But yeah, interesting. I wonder what comic arc it's going to cover.
It looked like Silver Age,
which that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm like so telltaled out right now.
Yeah.
I really hope that they pull a Walking Dead. Which, speaking of, there's going to be another one of those now.
Oh, Michonne.
But
That's just going to be one episode though, right?
It's a miniseries. It's like 3 or 4.
Sure. But point being. They remember how they really mixed things up in The Walking Dead, and it was really different from any other Telltale game and any other adventure game,
and
for
now
that matter.
They're all the same.
Yeah, and then literally everyone since then has not added a single mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we played a little bit the first episode of the Game of Thrones one, same as Walking Dead, and except worse, the character animations and some of the Uncanny Valley. It's bad.
I know Tom has to go soon, but I just want to throw out there.
It's all good.
Do you have to leave by 7:30?
No, I got to be there by 7:30.
Okay. Forget him. He can be late.
So I played around with the PS2 emulation on PS4. That's really cool. Dark Cloud looks really great. It runs really well on there.
Dark Cloud is super good.
Yep, that's a really good game.
Steampunk awesomeness.
Tom, have you played anything this week?
Yeah, Fallout and Tomb Raider. And honestly...
Is Tomb Raider growing on you?
Yeah, no, actually, I like Tomb Raider. The one thing you guys mentioned in the last show... how many games have come out that are like 70 hours long or whatever?
Try 200.
Yeah, or whatever. We talked about The Witcher, how long that is. The nice thing about Tomb Raider is I'm about like three and a half hours into it, and like you're making progress. You know what I mean? It's like playing a movie, basically.
Sometimes linearity and brevity are a good thing.
Yep. Someone came out and said like the story was not good. I've been fine with
it's
so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right with
it. I'm really excited for that Baba Yaga DLC. That was insanely good.
But
what, did I say it wrong?
Baba Yaga.
I'm just gonna let it go.
Anyways, the thing is, I think it's like the last game. I don't know how good the story was, but it got you through it. And there's never a letdown. There's never a time when I'm like, okay, I need to just kind of grind through
this. The star of that game is like some of the combat and then just climbing around.
Yeah.
That's all I really want for my Tomb Raider game. And it's given that to me.
Yeah. So
some puzzles.
And let's be honest, the first of the reboot, as hard as they tried to make it like an incredible storytelling experience, it was like it was an average story.
I thought they did a good job with the characters, at least.
It was better than you'd expect from Tomb Raider, but it wasn't
story of the year last year or anything. And so I'd say this one is probably in the same boat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I've enjoyed it. It's what I expected.
You don't want Lara Croft on boats. She doesn't do well with those.
Okay.
Isn't the first one about her boat?
Yeah,
crash?
No, that's right.
No, it definitely is.
She has a very difficult. Bad luck.
Yeah, you just shot me down.
Yeah.
Super fun.
No, and then and Fallout, I'm like 20 plus hours in, and
you're
still
almost done.
Still, is that true?
Yeah, you're getting there.
I'm
surprised you didn't beat it yet.
Well, I mean, if he's not just doing the main story, it's not surprising at all. My first character's playthrough was over 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
usually around 40 is what I've been hearing people clock in with.
I don't think you can even give an average for Fallout, really. Just like it'd be like giving an average.
That was like the reviews that were coming out. Like, obviously, they had to rush.
That's what I've heard too.
Embargoes and stuff, but usually around 40.
Yeah. So, I mean, which is good. I mean, I think I still enjoy it. If I'm halfway through, if you want to say that, I'm still as enjoying it as much as I was 3 hours in or whatever.
This is a game. Fallout is definitely a game that is as fun as it has been the whole time, right up until you finish the story, and then suddenly you feel like, what am I supposed to do next? Because the game, what it lacks more than anything else, I had said quest lines in the past, but I don't think that's the right way to put it. It lacks good story hooks. There aren't really, the side quests don't draw you in. It's like the antithesis of the Witcher side quests. You know, get added stealthily to your miscellaneous quests and stuff like that, where instead of giving you an intriguing little bit of info to kind of whet your appetite for it.
Yeah.
I feel like Oblivion was the last game that truly did that for me.
I mean, I would say The Witcher 3, but...
I'm sorry. I meant of Bethesda's games.
Oh.
Sorry.
Fair. Wait, you're saying that you didn't feel like there were good hooks in Skyrim?
Skyrim there was were, all but hooks Skyrim for me. Was yeah. not. I didn't enjoy the quests in Skyrim as much as I did in Oblivion. Like Oblivion for me, everything was just
they
fantastic.
Were better. Well, I mean, Oblivion you guys know my opinion on the Bethesda chronology, but I think Oblivion is a better game. It's got better characters, that's for sure. I saw somebody in the forums for one of these articles actually with the username Mike the Liar, and I was like, yes.
Oh yes, I saw that as well.
Characters that are awesome and should be in literally every Bethesda game. I want them in Fallout. I don't care.
Just keep that lineage
going.
Did you see the online conspiracy theory that Fallout is set in the same universe as the Skyrim and all that?
Yes, I haven't seen the Easter egg that supposedly ties them together or anything, but by that rationale, so is Wolfenstein, because there's a Skyrim helmet in Wolfenstein.
Yeah. This Easter egg is a little more involved and different, though.
Interesting. Well, don't tell me
that. I won't.
Because I am still going back.
It's Sheogorath.
Oh my god, I would love it if there was just a straight up God of Madness quest line.
He's actually the King of the Steel of Brotherhood.
It'd be so
good. Brotherhood of Steel.
Get out of here, you fake nerd. Nobody wants to hear from you anymore. Jeez.
Did anybody ever?
I think that wraps it up for this week. No, I'm just kidding. Do you have anything else you wanted to mention?
No.
I started up Remember Me just to see how bad it was because I got it in the Capcom bundle and damn, it was bad. That's all.
That's that one that has the cool, like, the cool looking, like, combat system with the custom combos, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually more of a pain in the butt than you'd think. And, like, it looks decent.
That was definitely a game that the ideas were good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on paper, the execution is just garbage.
Really cool idea, but yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that pretty much does it for this week. This has been Procedurally Generated. We hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and iTunes and leave us a rating or review. And you can also follow us on Twitter @PG_show. Thanks. And as always, game on.